Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Reality TV Rehap-Ups, the Rob Has a Podcast podcasts that do not include Rob. My name is Jessica Leese, your chief Amazing Race correspondent, and we have some extra special Amazing Race content for you this week. I am pleased to welcome to the program one half of the fan favorite teams of season 25, one half of the wrestlers, Mr. Robbie Strauss. How are you, Robbie?
Well, actually, like, this week kind of does include Rob, because I'm Rob and I'm here, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
You got, like, a substitute,
see what I
Rob.
Just did there? See how quick I'm on my feet? I just picked it up. It's like I'm one of the hosts here.
I guess so. Man, are you auditioning for my job, man?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty good at it. A podcast is kind of my thing. I don't know.
Oh, really? Do you have a podcast project in the pipeline?
I have a lot of things in the pipeline. I mean, I've raced around the world and I've lived through it, so I feel like I could do anything.
Yeah, well, that is certainly true. And actually, I was noting on my calendar, it was just 1 year plus 1 day ago that you were in Times Square at the starting line for Amazing Race 25.
366 days ago, that's correct.
Exactly, 366 days ago. I was there. I have to admit, I did not know who you were at the time, but many people around me were very, very excited. They said, oh my God, those people are professional wrestlers. They're going to be so good at the show. It was exciting.
Yeah, and you know, people probably thought we were going to be better at the show than we actually thought we were going to be. Because going into it, we kind of had zero confidence. But coming out of it, we had all the confidence in the world. So the tables turned. And I think America at first, when they got to know us, was kind of, are these guys going to make it? And I think everybody was pretty surprised how far we ended up making it.
Yeah, the pre-show buzz that I heard was that anybody that's any kind of professional athlete, and we had several of them in this cast, that you have kind of a competitive intensity that you can bring to the table that regular people teams wouldn't necessarily have. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do think it's true, but that doesn't help you at all if you're in a taxi that takes a wrong turn or if you're bad with directions. In fact, it almost can make you so excited where you're not calm to think things through, where it could almost hurt you. I guess that's what I always say. It's just, there's no real way to prepare for it or to know who's a good team and who's not, because so many factors play into the outcome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think, like, looking back on it, is there anything in particular that was valuable as far as preparation?
Just me being on our team. If I could change one thing, it would be a new having a different partner.
Yeah, a lot of people ask that question. If there's anybody in particular that you would have wanted to race with.
I probably, if I could have chose anyone, would have been my partner in wrestling, my tag team partner in pro wrestling, Jesse Godders, who actually was on a few seasons of Big Brother.
Yeah, I heard he appeared on 5 different seasons of Big Brother, so that guy knows reality TV.
Exactly. So I think me and him together, we're good at wrestling. I think we would have killed racing around the world.
Yeah. Now, does your friendship with Jesse, was that how you got connected with CBS casting, or?
Weirdly enough, it wasn't. We just happen to already be teaming a wrestling, and we happen to both be on CBS reality shows. So we're actually the only pro wrestling tag team in history to have ever both been on 2 reality shows and teaming together. So it's actually pretty random.
Yeah, that is really random. So how did you get hooked up with the show?
Just people. I was in talks with Amazing Race a few years ago. Someone from casting. I met them. Actually, Angelina from Jersey Shore was on our wrestling show, and someone she was with was kind of helping out with casting for the show, and we exchanged information, and just kind of never panned out. And then a few years later, I always stayed in contact, and they really were interested in getting wrestlers on the show. So.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You guys know you weren't the first wrestlers to end up on the show, and probably not, actually, literally not the last.
Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't know that, and then I heard about it, and I went back and I looked, and I got to say, those past wrestlers that have been on, I don't even know if I consider them wrestlers. I mean, those people were weird.
They were like backyard wrestlers.
Yeah. Granted, I'm weird also, but in a different way.
Yeah, well, I think you have to be a little bit weird to want to go on the show in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. You have to be weird to be a pro wrestler and then definitely go on the show.
Yeah, so you guys are kind of portrayed as not being particularly, like, worldly in terms of, like, knowing where you were at any given point. Is that accurate, or did you have a lot more travel experience than was hinted at?
Well, I mean, I have travel experience for wrestling. You know, I travel all around the world, but I'm usually being driven around or told where I'm going. I don't really have to leave the traveling on my own. So, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer when it comes to that kind of stuff. So what you see is what you get. That's pretty much me as far as directions and everything.
Yeah, directions ultimately appeared to be the thing that did you in the end.
Yep. LA will kill you. It's like we could kill it in every country, but once you get back into the United States, our home turf, that's where we blow it. Go figure.
Yeah, that was kind of sad and a little ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, do you feel like you were accurately portrayed? Like, do you feel good about the edit?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think we came off for the most part as, at least I did. I think I came off as a funny guy, which I am, as a guy, honest and pretty normal guy. I would say America for the most part liked me, besides our little turn that we had on the scientists when we gave them wrong directions. I don't think we were out to get anyone or did anything wrong. So I think it was pretty straight on. And then the way Brooke was portrayed by, you know, being mean and bossing me around is pretty much the truth.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly how much you wanted me to ask you about that, but it was something that I had been wondering about because I had in fact read that you guys were practically not even speaking by the time you hit the end of the race.
Yep, and now we obviously are on zero speaking terms. It was kind of like it was kind of like casted for the show, kind of like just let's just do it because we're already this far. Let's just do it and try one last time. And it definitely completely split us, you know, but I'm glad at least America got to see how mean she is.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if mean was necessarily the way it came off. It just seemed like she was not having a good time.
Yeah, she wasn't. Like, you got to enjoy things as they happen. And definitely wasn't the case.
Yeah. And you seem to do pretty well at having a good time despite that.
Yeah, whether, you know, you make the best of everything in life. Stay positive, you have a positive life.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I have to say my favorite recurring theme, and we went into this very often when we were covering your season for our podcast, but we were really amused by how every time you were on camera, you were either eating something or asking if you could eat something.
In real life, in things that you didn't see on camera, it was even worse. I mean, you know, I'm so used to going to the gym and being my eating routine and everything. When I'm thrown off from that, it just made me feel so off. So any chance I had to get food that was kind of like the joke throughout the cast. You know, I'm always asking everyone the meals we would get, if people wouldn't finish them, I would take their extra food and do whatever I could to get all the calories in I got to get.
Yeah, because I think this is something that it doesn't really come across while you're out on the race course, but once they let you out for the day, they're not feeding you until you check in. Is that right?
No, you do get meals in between on your breaks. You will get something. It's not, you know, it's just getting you by, though. It's not this huge, you know, gourmet meal.
Yeah, it's just like sustenance rations, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we got a whole bunch of questions from the fans.
Cool.
And I thought I'd just kind of sprinkle them in here throughout the interview because they come up with great questions here. My friend Dan Heaton wants to know, does Robbie think his experience in front of the camera as a wrestler gave him a leg up on any of the other people in the race?
No, I mean, it's different because my experience, you know, I play a character in wrestling on TV, and this, I was being myself, and, you know, on reality TV, after a short bit of time, you forget the camera's even there. And as far as when I'm interviewing and everything, I mean, I'm not playing up anything. I was just being myself. So I don't think that did anything for me.
So it was a totally different experience? Like, you didn't feel like you were playing a character at all?
Yeah, I mean, I was just myself as where I'm wrestling. You know, when the red light's on, I turn into a, you know, Robbie E., which is different than Robbie Strauss, you know?
Yeah, so what do you think the biggest difference is between Robbie E. and Robbie Strauss?
A lot of oil and pink trunks.
Yeah, your Skype avatar here is pretty hilarious.
Oh, that's what I'm looking at right now. Actually, I'm looking at a stand-up of myself in my basement. I'm in my house right now, and I have a big life-size stand-up of myself, of course.
What do you do with a life-size stand-up of yourself? Do you just, like, pose for photo ops with yourself?
Yeah, and when my friends come over, I'm like, hey, check out this life-size stand-up of myself that a fan sent me. Yeah, it's cool to have.
So you got this as a gift from a fan.
I did. If I listed the weird things that I've gotten from fans over the years, I mean, we'd be on this podcast for hours.
All right. So is that the weirdest? What is the all-time weirdest?
The all-time weirdest is a doll that a fan made me, and not because a doll is so weird, but if you saw the way it looked, it's like an alien version of Robbie E. Like, I look half male, half female. My hair is, it's almost like they sent it to me as a gift, but it's almost like they were trying to make fun of me or something by saying, like, I look like this, even though they weren't. It was awkward, and it came with an awkward card, like, telling me God bless and all this weird stuff, and yeah.
Difficult to determine exactly how serious it was.
Exactly, and the verbiage that was on the card was just awkward.
Oh, yeah. So what's your been your interaction with Amazing Race fans? Like, how do they compare to wrestling fans?
I mean, reality show fans are diehard and crazy.
That is true.
Kind of like wrestling fans. I think wrestling fans just might be a little creepier to go to weird lengths to, like, wait outside when they know you're somewhere. Or, you know, if I'm on my fan Facebook page or Twitter, if they know I'm making an appearance somewhere, they'll get there hours before to wait to give, like I said, weird gifts and stuff to hand you things. Or, yeah, I mean, I think they're just a little weirder and creepier.
Did anybody recognize you while you were out in the race?
Yes, in London, which our Impact Wrestling, our television show is huge there in the UK. In the London train station, there was a Robbie E. chant at one point.
Wow, that had to be kind of galvanizing. Like, you must have felt really good about it.
It was cool, and I wanted to stop and absorb it, but it was like, oh, sorry, I got to go. We're racing. I couldn't even, you know.
Yeah, you're on a race. So I want to know if you followed season 26 at all. Did you see anything about the twist that was involved? And I wondered how you felt about that.
Sadly enough, I do have the show DVR, but I didn't get to watch any of it. My wrestling schedule has been, you know, so insane. I'm on the road 4 or 5 days a week. I just haven't gotten to watch television, period. So I've seen like one episode. So I hate to say it, but I'm not familiar with this past season.
Yeah. Well, the central gimmick was that half of the teams were paired up with a total stranger.
Uh-huh.
And they had somebody that people, like, I had about 6 different people ask me about this one particular character that they thought was worse than Brooke. But so you have that to look forward to. Her name was Haley, and I liked her very much. I thought she was wonderful, and she was a little bit more positive, but she was a lot more vocal.
Ouch, that just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, she drew a lot of comparisons. But she was a little bit more, I think it was more that it was just how she was and not like anything, any reflection on the dynamic of the relationship. So it's a little bit of a different situation, but you have that to look forward to. It'll probably give you a little bit of post-traumatic stress.
Just thinking about it's kind of scared me. Yeah. Now I don't want to watch.
Yeah. Had you seen very many seasons before you went on?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few. I wasn't a hardcore fan of the show. You know, I'd seen it here and there, but leading up to it, knowing I was going, I watched a few seasons and studied it and stuff.
Yeah, anybody stand out as an inspiration?
Not an inspiration. There was, you know, there were some teams that I liked along the way, but none that stand out where I'm like, oh my God, those are the ones I want to be like or anything. None specific.
I think you got to be like yourself.
That's the thing. If you, I'm a confident guy, and I always put myself number one, and I feel like that's how you make it in things.
Yeah. Yeah. So we also got a lot of people asking about your operatic stylings in Sicily, which was, I think, maybe one of the best legs of the entire race. We get you doing a spectacular opera performance. We get a strong leg where you actually, I think maybe the only time we saw you actively team up with another team to finish a task.
Yeah, that was in the opera with the scientists, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, we were lucky enough to go there and not do whatever that painting was, because in the heat like that and having to stay still and be patient to paint something, oh my God, I would have freaked out.
Yeah, it didn't look like anybody had a very good time with that.
No.
And you got to run through the halls singing opera, and we used that. We grabbed the sound bite out of it and got many, many happy hours of enjoyment out of that.
Well, that's a good thing. It still makes me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also, I think that leg also you guys made up about, it looked like 45 minutes of time after you couldn't find a cab.
Yeah, well, that happened on a few occasions. On a few occasions, I feel like we were behind everybody because of stupid cabs. And, I mean, not making excuses, I don't. But, you know, that was kind of the case. But, yeah, every time we ended up catching up and being where we had to be.
And what do you think the difference was? Was it just bad luck every time?
Yeah. I mean, really nothing else to it, I guess. Bad luck, a guy taking a wrong route. You know, us just being stupid and not looking in the right spot for a cab one time because we couldn't find one.
Yeah, and then, of course, the camera pans over to the sign that says taxi, like, right next to where you're standing.
Yeah. Like I said, not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Yeah, but, you know, arguably the most fun knife in the drawer.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so how much of doing well on the show do you think is down to luck?
I think it's some luck and some skill. Like I said, you know, you asked him, does being fit help? It helps. It certainly doesn't hurt, but there's just so much that comes with it, you know, and... you know, and also when things are placed, like for instance, on the last episode, the last exercise or whatever that you'd say we had to get through, which we didn't end up getting to, but, where the scientist killed everybody is remembering, you know, all that stuff they had to remember and to keep track of everything from the whole season. And that, because that was the last thing and they were great at that, they were able to win. You know, if the last thing was a race or a fitness thing, they might not have won. So it's just the way things are placed, the order that they're in, you know, there's just so many factors. So.
Yeah. Did it feel like a kind of a letdown to get eliminated in the middle of the leg? Was that like extra humiliating?
Yeah, you know, it did, but I'm a positive guy. I was already happy. And I was just like, wow, we made it to the finals. This is, you know what I mean? I was already like, we deserve a pat on the back for this. And my teammate didn't feel the same way, but I was still happy and proud.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to ask you about specifically the leg in Singapore. There had been a deal made that you guys were going to employ the U-turn. And then you ended up not doing it. And we wondered a lot about why you ended up, like, what did you have to lose at that point? Why didn't you end up honoring the pact and U-turning the cyclists?
You know, I just think at that point we were ahead. We felt that we were wanting to make it to the finish line before the last team. So we were just like, let's just see how it pans out and let everyone else fight for it. I think we just didn't want to get involved. Granted, you're right, it wouldn't have hurt us at that point, but we felt we were ahead anyway, so just why leave a bad taste in anyone's mouth?
Yeah, and was there any real fallout to that decision? I know that there was quite a bit more when you told the scientists that they were at the wrong lion statue.
The reason we kind of did that is because little by little, as it was getting closer to the end, they were changing and kind of just getting a little nastier and getting a little just more out for themselves. Granted, it is everyone for themselves, but there was a few instances where, like, we would have helped them if it was the same situation and they didn't help us. So we just kind of felt like, well, you know what? You know, we're going to play a little trick on you.
Yeah, and... They seemed to shrug it off in the show, and that's kind of the impression we got from talking to them. But did you guys end up ever discussing it?
Yeah, we did discuss it very briefly in the airport. I think when Maya mentioned it at some point, and we just at the time just kind of denied it. Oh, we didn't know. Sorry, misunderstanding. It was very quick, very brief.
Yeah, and I guess in that situation, you kind of have to play dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you end up really getting into it.
Yeah, well, I don't think they would have got into it with us. They were probably scared of us. But
were they the only ones? Or do you think you intimidated a lot of the other teams?
I think for sure at the beginning we did. We were quiet, kept to ourselves. Two, you know, guy and a girl, they're fit and athletes. And when they found out we're wrestlers, it's kind of like, holy crap. But when they got to know us and we were cool and everything, again, at least I was, and they realized again that we're not so bright. I think they were like, oh, we don't got too much to worry about these two. Yeah. Again, I think that was everyone's thoughts on us until the second to last leg when we came in first. I think finally they were like, holy shit, we, you know, these guys are the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like, you know, everybody's got a different balance of strengths, but yours being so obvious right away, that had to kind of freak people out a little bit. Nobody in the cast was a wrestling fan. They didn't know what you did until you told them.
Yeah. After we did tell them one person was familiar with me, but didn't put two and two together, my hair looked different and stuff. But yeah, I mean, there was wrestling fans in the cast, but they didn't know a specific.
Yeah, so I guess it threw them off when you didn't come out in the pink trunks and the oil.
When my hair is not 5 feet high like it used to be and big shiny boots, yeah.
Yeah. So are you keeping up with any of your castmates? Like, you guys hanging out at all?
Here and there. I've seen a few of them when I've been on location for wrestling and stuff. And yeah, you know, Facebook and stuff, we keep in contact. And when I have wrestling in their areas, because again, I travel all over, I'll always let them know so they can come check out a show. And yeah.
Okay. So let's get into a couple more of our fan questions. I put it out to our Facebook group of our – we have a group of patrons that support the podcast. And then I also put it out on Twitter this afternoon. So we got a fair handful. Jennifer O'Hara wants to know if you have any fun stories involving Mr. Pectacular and yourself.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun stories involving him, but most of them I probably can't say on this podcast. But, I mean, you know, we travel the world together. We're pretty similar. We're both into the gym, into ourselves, into tanning, the beach, that kind of stuff. You know, when we're on the road, we travel together, rental cars, hotels, everything. So we got a lot of crazy stories, but none like jump out of the box crazy that pop right into my head. You know, just think of us two traveling together and you could probably put two and two together with how our life goes.
That seems like it could be a reality show in and of itself.
Oh, it certainly could. Yeah.
Yeah. So Scott McCullough had a question. What are your thoughts on the Ring of Honor Destination America deal? Apparently this is a new series that's getting picked up.
Yeah, well, Wednesday nights, our show is currently on Friday nights, and it's moving to Wednesday nights on Destination America, and we're 9 to 11 p.m., and Destination America just picked up another wrestling organization, Ring of Honor, which will be the opening for us from 8 to 9. So it's just kind of like wrestling night on our channel, and we're welcoming them, and hopefully some of their fans will watch our show and vice versa. So I think it's a win-win for both wrestling promotions.
Yeah, and what a great night for fans. You got like 3 hours of content.
3 hours of wrestling now, yeah.
Yeah, people will be excited about that.
For sure.
So Jeremiah Panhorse asked, if Robbie gets to run the race again, what does he plan to change in his pursuit to win? I mean, apart from your partner, which we've already discussed.
Besides that, honestly, I'd do the same thing. Expect the unexpected, and the way to prepare is to not prepare. Just kind of go with the flow and see what happens. I think that was the best. You know, just don't finish last. You know, I never cared about getting first or whatever. It didn't matter. I just wanted to survive till the end, and then you got to worry about it on that last leg.
Yeah. What was the biggest surprise?
There was no surprises, really. You know, it was – well, I'll take that back. The biggest surprise was when we came in first on the second to last leg, and then it was a continue racing. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
And we got no gift for that. We got no prize.
Yeah, that's kind of a letdown.
Yeah, a huge letdown.
Yeah, and you didn't know at that point that you were going to be racing with the Final Four?
No, we thought there was going to be three.
Yeah, and it looked like you found out in the airport.
That's when we did. When we saw them walking in, it was like, are you freaking kidding me? You know?
Yeah, plus first no prize and now no elimination.
Now we got four instead of three, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit rough. So Kate Sears wants to know, what was your favorite leg?
Probably Denmark. Denmark, where I had to memorize the food menu and then the bike riding.
Yeah, the spectacular food menu performance.
Yeah, I'm a showman and I got to show that. And then also, you know, the bike riding, you just don't know how hard it was. And we got it on the first try, which was good. And we came in second that leg. So that was rewarding.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, even though they didn't let you eat the cake.
I know. God, I needed some carbs to give me energy on that.
Yeah. And Jeremiah Panhorse also asks, what does Robbie feel is the most important rule to remember when running the race?
To make sure you just follow every rule. When you read those cards, you have to just read it word for word over and over again. That's the most important thing, to really know what you're doing. Because there's sometimes you read it so quick, you go and do something and you're like doing the wrong thing, or, oh, we got to read it again. You know what I mean? Because you're in such a rush where you might make a quick mistake. So it's worth it to take that 1 minute and really read it and understand it before you make a move.
Yeah. And I can imagine that's hard to do on an empty stomach in a high pressure situation.
Yeah. And when you're seeing everyone else crazy around you doing the same thing, it's like, oh my God, we're all crazy. What do we do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, is there anybody apart from your tag team partner out in the wrestling world that you think you might have enjoyed running the race with?
Well, I would also, you know, if it was again now, I would love and enjoy to run the race with my current fiance, Tara, who I'm with, a girl that I'm with. I would love to run with her. But in wrestling, I mean, yeah, I have a bunch of friends that I'd love to run it with also.
Well, I didn't know you were engaged. Congratulations. That's exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's nice to know you weren't totally burned out by going through a breakup while you were on a show.
Yeah. I don't even remember it now. Is that right?
Yeah. It seems like that month of filming must go by pretty fast, no matter what's going on around you.
Oh, my God. It's you blink your eye and you're like, that was just a month? What the? Yeah, it's quick. It's crazy.
Yeah. So any, like, separate from what you did on each leg, like, is there any location you're dying to go back to?
No, I mean, honestly, like, you know, Italy's a cool place, but I'm there a lot for wrestling. You know, UK, I'm in wrestling all the time in London and all over Europe. So, I mean, Africa and Philippines are, I'm not in a huge rush to get back there, at least not the parts we were. But, you know, I love traveling, so I'm always down to go anywhere.
Yeah. Dream destination. Like, if you go back for another season, like, where do you want to take you?
I guess South Africa. Yeah. That would be cool. That'd be cool to go to.
Yeah, they haven't been back in ages. I think it's been like 10 years since they've gone back there.
I'd also like to go to Egypt. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It's a little bit, I think it's a little bit rocky politically right now.
Yeah, I know, it wouldn't work, but it would be cool racing through pyramids.
Yeah, so what is next for you? Are just more of the same wrestling? You got anything else you want to tell the fans about?
Just, you know, wrestling Destination America Wednesday nights, 9 to 11 p.m. Impact Wrestling. And, you know, my social media, Twitter and Instagram are at Robbie E. Impact. And my official website is robbie-e.com, where you could check out where I'm going to be and everything. But, yeah, right now wrestling is going great. Like it always has been, and schedule's crazy, and that's it. Check me out on Wednesday nights.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for doing this interview, Robbie. We'd love to have you on to recap an episode with us.
Awesome. I will definitely do that. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Bye.